Welcome to Bunda Vista, episode 374. We're here at the great crashing nexus between Earth and Sea. Again and again, the moon drags water up the sand in great tumbling, hissing masses. In exchange, we drag the moon millimeters closer to us, preparing for our final embrace. All of this will happen again. Rocks are rolled and drowned between the water and sand, slowly crushed under that great stochastic pressure towards roundness and conformity. They will not outlive their neighbor, the Pepsi Max can, as it's dragged towards its home at the ocean floor for the next 100,000 years. All of this will happen again. I'm Theo, and I'm wearing jeans to the beach. I came looking for a bad time, and I found one. Didn't wear sunscreen or bring a hat, because I didn't intend on going in the water today. And now I cannot leave the extent of this bluey tent, lest I die. For me, every beach is the beach that makes you old. In the tent with me, dressed all in black except for red Converses with yellow and white paint somehow splattered on them, audibly pouting, it's Lucy. Hello, Lucy.
It's so funny. Even before you mentioned that, I was going to say I'm wearing my Converse because I thought they'd be fine on the
beach.
Because I took the socks off, so I'm wearing my Converse without socks. Oh. And there is sand inside them.
No. Sand everywhere. It's not a good time at the beach. Apparently, subjectively, because in the distance, there's the glint of sunlight as if reflected off bronze or a speeding Porsche. Abs absolutely gleaming in the sun. He's leaping and playing in the waves as if he was native to it. Perhaps Adonis himself, it's Andrew.
Hey, splash, splash.
You would have a good time in the ocean, right?
Me? No, I hate that shit.
Really?
Oh.
Thumbs down to the beach from me.
God
Two
damn.
Thumbs down. I want to be at the beach for 30 to 45 minutes, and then I've had my fun.
That's enough. That's more than 30 to 45 seconds.
Yeah, like, well, you know, you're there for half an hour, and it's like, oh, the water was refreshing, but also...
Nothing else happens there.
They've kept the sun on.
Yeah.
The sun's on the whole time.
There's also stuff in the ocean.
There's a bunch
of stuff down there, and you don't know what it is.
I said to someone at a dinner last night that I do not like going in the ocean further than when my feet can touch the bottom, because as soon as my feet can't touch the bottom, anything could be down there.
Yeah,
and it is.
Come join us in the tent, brother.
Oh, glad
there's room for one more.
Although now all this fucking sand is sticking to my bronzed body. God damn.
Yeah. And muscular in a different way, but no less handsome, bringing a coiled, powerful body to bear in the water. His sleep cap still somehow perfectly dry, despite being in the middle of a play fight with Andrew in the water. It's Ben. Now, Ben, I know you're a beach babe.
I am a beach babe. That's true.
Yeah, you give beach babe.
I love the beach. You guys are sick in the fucking head.
What? Us?
Yeah.
Us?
All three of you. That's just, it's just a pure...
The podcast that takes you to the Radzar test? Yeah. We've got some problems with the beach?
I would push against that in saying that the sensory experience of being in waves and in water is actually very soothing.
I think the water bit, pleasant.
Yep.
Everything else, awful.
If the temperature control was a little more refined in Australia... Yeah. I think, because you've got, like, maybe an hour before 10 o'clock when it's, like, not too hot to be in there.
Yeah.
You should come to Tasmania where you can be in the water at the beach, like, 4 days a year without freezing.
They freeze your little nips off down there.
Oh.
I'm
with you, Lucy. I think that's why humanity really nailed it with the pool.
Yeah.
They said, hey, you want to sit in some water? No problem. There's nothing.
No
nothing
sand.
In here has a tentacle.
Inside. Mm.
No tentacles. No sand. Goddamned sand.
Yeah.
Just children's urine.
Yeah. We assume that every time you come in with something that's sort of grievance-based, that's based on something that happened to you.
It's just happened.
I had a great time.
You've come in with complaints about sand. Do you guys have a bluey pop-up beach tent?
But it does have the bluey. It uses the bluey font on the outside of it, which I feel like is just a little bit too much.
That's interesting.
What does
they
it
should
say?
Be paying Ludo Studios for the rights.
What's it using the the bluey font to say? What are the words on it?
Capri Beach Sun Tent.
Oh, isn't that one everyone bought? Where'd you get that from?
From Anaconda, because it was like $40.
Yeah.
Does a great job.
Fucking, I went to, where was it? Maybe like the last time I went to the beach, actually, which would have been last year. Fucking everyone had that like exact brand, one of those.
Yeah. It's good. It's better than setting up a friggin' gazebo. True. We're not bringing that many friends to the beach.
No, we'd go to the beach with you. So, well, no, we don't have any of the same days off as you guys. But
no, that's right.
You know where I never have like to
the beach
set up
as a destination.
I've never got to set up a windbreak tent in my house. You know?
Yes. True.
Yes. Yes.
In the
yes.
bath.
Yep.
Yeah.
In the bath.
In the bath.
You can't watch John Wick on your laptop at the beach.
Yep.
Well, if you do, people will be like, hey. Check out this fucking guy.
Yeah.
Oh shit, it's John Wick. Everybody sit down with this guy. We're watching John Wick 4 at the beach.
Everybody gather around. You, sir, if you could try and block the sun from hitting the screen of my Dell.
Hold like 20 beachgoers going, oh, as he's pushed down the stairs again.
Is this a Russian dub? Is this a cam? Did you get a telesynced cam of John Wick 4?
You can't hear it or see it, so there's no problem.
Yep. Hey, beaches.
Hey.
Wherever the land meets the sea, you will often find a beach. Although, not in England. They got something else over there.
Yeah.
They might want to call it a beach, but they're lying.
Yeah, that's not really it. But in America,
it's an edge.
That's right.
You guys,
we call
it
the
transition.
You're all down to the edge of Britain.
Take me towel down, sit on the hard edge.
America, though, they've got beaches. And we see what's happening in America. In America, watch.
America. Let's just briefly take America to task, though. For sometimes calling the shore of a lake a beach. It's not.
Oh, yeah. I think we've done that extensively, and we've received probably the most negative feedback that we've ever received this podcast.
I've got to say, like, it is the beach. It feels really weird when you're like at Lake Michigan. Like, you're on the beach, though.
I would say I'd count one of the Great Lakes, sure.
Yeah,
you can't see the
lake.
Other side.
Not on a regular lake. That's
not
on
a regular lake. Yeah, anything sub great, fuck off. This comes to us from WYFF in South Carolina, The Whiff.
Oh, I'm trying to do that in my head. All I came up was the yiff.
I was thinking the wife.
Wife probably actually makes more sense even. Venomous snake escapes during North Carolina crash after box truck collides with RV, officials say.
My snake truck.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. America rocks.
Yeah, you assume
just
that.
Just going on all the time.
Driving with that.
Yeah, interesting. A highly venomous snake was captured after escaping during a crash on a North Carolina interstate, officials said. The crash happened just after midnight Tuesday on I-95 in Wilson County, according to the NBC affiliate in Raleigh. North Carolina Highway Patrol troopers said an RV heading from South Carolina to Pennsylvania was carrying 28 snakes, 2 tortoises, 5 lizards, 2 dogs, a cat, and 5 people when it collided with a box truck.
Which of the animals was driving?
Okay, Noah.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, get him.
28 snakes, 2 tortoises, 5 lizards, 2 dogs, a cat, and 5 people.
Yeah.
I like how it puts people at the bottom of that
list. Session ever.
Yeah. Why do you fucking people? What? Why? But like, why?
Yeah.
What? What for? So many snakes.
Why else have an RV if
two
not
tortoises.
To enable... Part of the reason that you have an RV is to enable travel across this beautiful country of ours slash theirs. And it means that you can travel with your chosen family.
You can take
family,
your cat, you can take your dog.
That the airlines love to discriminate against.
Take
every time
lizard.
I try to take
not
my
RVs,
28
though.
My 28 venomous snakes on the plane, I get yelled at.
Yeah.
This is one of those ads for an RV, but like done in that quirky RACQ style or whatever. It's like, take your family, and it's like going past all the five, you know, mum, dad, kids and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All of them.
Yeah.
And camera pans past
5 lizards, 2 dogs, a cat. Yeah.
Also, I'm really impressed they managed to catch the venomous snake, because I assumed that if you drop a snake in the wild, it just despawns.
Yeah, it's just gone. It just blends into the scenery.
It has gone outside of the eye of God.
Yeah.
And is no longer calculated in the like universal time step.
So you're saying, Theo, that once a snake is in the grass, the draw distance goes way down.
Yeah, yeah. It's just no longer in the memory of the game.
We don't need to keep track of it. If you go into the grass, there may be a random encounter involving snakes.
But we're not tracking the actual location of the snake.
It's more like in GTA, if you were like trying to find a particular car, you know, in like the old Vice City, and they only had so many in the memory, and you're like,
you
gotta
look away. Yeah, you gotta look away, look back so it respawns.
Yeah,
that sort
of thing. Yeah. Unnatural. That makes sense to me.
You can't really, like, if you're a pet snake owner and your snake is nice and warm and energized, you cannot just be like leaving a door open, or that snake is just, it's gone forever.
Zip out of there.
Yeah, there was a story I saw last week about someone's snake. This is obviously in America, but their pet snake had disappeared like 2 years ago and then just turned up in like the car park of like a Walmart or something. People are like,
did you really?
It's your snake.
No, it's your snake.
Oh,
that sounds fake.
Oh, you know that look.
That's
I don't know those eyes anywhere.
Authorities believe the box truck driver fell asleep at the wheel.
Skill issue.
It's unfortunate. Yeah. No one in the RV, including the animals, was injured, but the box truck driver suffered serious injuries.
Oh, to
Wake Med in Raleigh. Okay, well. A small, highly venomous viper that escaped during the crash was recaptured by the owner. The crash caused a temporary closure of the interstate as officials worked to secure the escaped snake. Now, when I read this story, I was like, okay, this is an RV with 28 snakes, 2 tortoises, 5 lizards, 2 dogs, a cat, 5 people. Mm-hmm. This is like some weird, like, exotic animal smuggling ring or something, right? Like, there's no fucking reason.
It's just like a family with their pets, or
it's just a family with their 28 snakes, 2 tortoises, 5 lizards, 2 dogs, and a cat.
If this was like the rules that police use to apply to drugs and the amount of drugs that you're carrying, I think anyone holding 28 snakes is a snake smuggling ring.
Oh yeah, sure, because you're over like recreational.
You're over the recreational snake limit.
Yeah. I think that's probably not the limit. In America, I think you could probably 100. Have up to 40 to 50 snakes.
And if you get like a license that you just have to apply for on the internet, you can probably up that number to 200 snakes.
Exactly.
No. I did the course. I did the online safety course. It took me 5 minutes.
I think if it's been ruled constitutional to carry a concealed handgun anywhere that you are in the entire country, probably not really putting a limit on snakes.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. They're not really going to focus on the snake problem for a while yet, I don't think.
You
want to be
carrying
snakes. You want to be carrying snakes in North Carolina.
The way things are there now.
Mm.
Do you think when the snake got recaptured that it was disappointed, or that it just felt gratitude for the little adventure?
I think it had a nice little trip.
Yeah. But then it wanted the safe touch of its owner and the company of its fellow 27 snakes. Five lizards, 2 dogs, and a cat.
I think for a viper, being inside an RV and getting hit with a box truck on an interstate, that's an accession event. It does not
have
the brain power to process any of that.
Can't assimilate it into its experience
on the ground
at
now.
All.
Yeah.
Oh, things changed for a bit, and now they're the same? Oh, well. Such is life.
Well, it might have been like a Milo and Otis kind of situation where the snake was out and then it was like, where is my beloved owner? Where is Tony?
Yes.
Where is Tony?
Where's my tortoise? Where's my tortoise?
Where's the one
companions?
Tortoise that I like? I hate that other tortoise.
No one has handed me a warm mouse in 10 minutes.
Mm. Yeah. Where are my crickets?
I hate it out here. I hate it out here. You know?
You reckon these guys are just like, you reckon they live in the RV or this is a family holiday? And they are like, they're going, where are they? They were driving from South Carolina to Pennsylvania. So they're probably visiting family.
What business do you have in Pennsylvania?
They
might
have
been
going for a Pennsylvania Thanksgiving.
Oh, maybe it was for Thanksgiving.
Like their family's originally from Pennsylvania, but you know, they had to go to South Carolina.
Couldn't get like a pet sitter. For the 28 snakes. So it's probably hard.
Get Getting the Thanksgiving invite. Can I bring my snakes?
Yeah. Is it all right if I bring like some pets?
Yeah.
You can bring two snakes, Tony. It's like, I just heard snakes. Bye.
Yeah. It's kind of a package deal.
Yep.
Man, how good is that though? Rocking up to your auntie's house. Everyone's come outside. You're like all stepping out and you go, oh, wait, there's a few more of us. 28 snakes, 2 tortoises, 5 lizards, 2 dogs and a cat.
Yeah, we brought our combination petting and non-petting zoo.
Coming in, arms loaded up. Hey, where do I put my 28 snakes?
Everyone else in the family will be like, oh, fuck, they're here. I didn't think they were going to come this year. Because they have 28 snakes, 2 tortoises, 5 lizards, 2 dogs and a cat. Thought they'd fucking stay at home. I just don't know how well-trained your like dogs have to be to not be freaking out around the snakes. That many animals.
Yeah.
What's the cat doing during all this, you know? Sitting up high somewhere? Is the cat involved?
She's doing whatever she wants.
Ooh. Yes. Mm. Cats are like that, aren't they?
Yeah, they're sort of own us.
True. Cats are all girls.
we had a guy bring a snake to the bar like a week ago, 2 weeks ago maybe.
Like one of those little thin guys?
No, it was not. Oh. This was like a meter long, like albino python.
What's he drinking?
Didn't see him drink the time that I was there.
He's going to sour mash.
So I was not working at the time. I was just there because I was dropping in to pick something up. And then someone's like, oh, there's a guy with a snake outside. And I'm like, What do you mean there's a guy with a snake outside? Like he's passing by with a snake in a crate? Like, no. Go have a look outside. And there's a man sitting there with a big old snake on his shoulders. And I'm like, do I have a responsibility to get this man to remove his snake from the bar? Do I have to say, sir,
so you can't
need to
bring that
leave.
In here?
Is there a specific, I mean, you have your dog there.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that I was worried about is that there's quite a lot of dogs there. And personally, for me, if my dog saw a snake, he would probably freak the fuck out.
Yeah.
Because it's a snake. And it turns out nothing bad happened. I did not ask the man to leave. Maybe should have. Don't know.
Something's just fucking work weird. Themselves out. Yeah.
You were too
You're
worried
like
about
thumbing through the bar rules. Okay, yeah. Is it under S for snake or H for herpetology?
Yeah, you were worried about getting air butted. Well, there's nothing in the rules that says he can't have a snake in the bar.
Nothing in the RSA or RMLV tells you about what to do if a reptile is in your bar.
It should, though. It's
very strange.
Also, I'm enjoying the image of like the RV and it's been put in like Unity Engine or whatever. And they've just got physics on now, bouncing along the highway, like 27 snakes, 5 tortoises, 2 lizards, so on and so forth. And they're all just bouncing around inside with the best physics that the Unity Engine can provide.
Yeah.
Along
Previously,
the
they were just little static meshes.
Yeah. Yeah. Now they got like soft body physics.
How big was this fucking RV? Because all of this was happening. Like, so I'm picturing what you're describing, Theo. They're all bouncing around. but there's also 5 humans in the RV, right? So I'm assuming that they kind of get their choice of the seats.
No, they're just lying in a stack on the bed. T-posing.
I think the dog's up front, dog and cat up front for sure.
Yeah,
oh,
absolutely.
Looking out the front?
Yeah.
Paws on the dashboard?
Yeah, 100%.
Dog's got a visor on. The dog has a visor, I think.
The tortoises are definitely just like getting around on the carpet, just cruising around.
Yep.
Like they're on the ground. They're fine. They're not a problem.
Yeah.
You know, whenever we read a story about like someone's house that's just like fucking full of venomous snakes or whatever, and they just keep them all in tubs. They just have like a stacked tub
like
system,
a
which is like
tub
hundreds of snakes. Which
is that fun for the snakes or what?
Probably not.
I don't think that's important.
I don't know what snakes enjoy. Or if they can.
That's so sad.
To know the mind of a snake would be to know the mind of God, I believe. Hey, they had to make this trip by RV, probably because they couldn't do it by plane. We have a look at what's happening in planes, in plainly speaking.
This is your captain speaking. Please return your seats to their upright positions as we are coming in hot on another edition of Plainly Speaking.
We look into what's happening in plane.
Planes. In planes. We're looking inside planes to see what's happening in them. Now, this is something of a sequel. It's not narratively connected, but it is thematically connected, sort of continued in the same
spirit. A spiritual sequel.
Yes. It's sort of like how Prometheus and the rest of the Alien movies are connected, but he says it's not really logically connected.
But is it in the same
universe? This
like
one.
IP-wise.
Is it canon?
Or is it more of like a Total Annihilation versus Supreme Commander kind of situation?
Oh, where it's taken the fundamental concepts, but without connecting the... Yeah, no, I think this is the same universe. Universe A, I like to call it. The one that we're in.
Now, that's clever, because
That thing that this is kind of a sequel to was in episode 339, Ratatouille Life Debt, about a guy who was trying to fly... He had a wonderful name. I believe it was Eve Fleurizard? No, yeah. Wycliffe Eve Fleurizard.
Amazing.
Yeah. He was trying to fly from New York to somewhere in the US, and he just like took a photo of a little girl's boarding pass, used that to get it scanned,
and
got
then
on
was
the
like,
plane.
It's my seat.
Yeah. So he was caught before the plane took off. But this one goes a little bit further. This is from CNN. Stowaway flew aboard Delta flight from New York to Paris. That's pretty fucking good.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to steal a flight,
yeah,
go big.
Go to Paris.
Go to Paris.
There's no way you'll be disappointed with Paris.
No.
A stowaway evaded multiple airport security checkpoints and flew aboard a Delta Airlines flight from New York to Paris Tuesday evening, authorities said. A shocking breach that raised some serious alarm over airport security.
Now, we're all picturing somebody shuffling around under an upside-down cardboard box like Solid Snake, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
How long's that flight? New York to Paris?
It's got to be.
It's like
16 hours?
Oh, 7 hours.
10 hours? Was it?
7 hours.
Seven nonstop. Nonstop. Yeah. Every time I hear about how long a flight takes from a different country, it makes me so angry.
I think because in my mind, Europe is just like unreachably far away.
Yeah, and it should be.
24 hours to fly there or whatever. The Atlantic is not as wide as I thought, I guess.
Hmm. Well, I mean, they were always sailing across it, weren't they?
That's true.
Like, I'm going to just go over this ocean.
You could just take a 7 hour flight to Paris.
That's fucked up. Why aren't Americans like super knowledgeable about Europe?
Yeah.
Flying to Europe, it takes us 20 hours and a stopover
at a minimum, yeah.
In like either like the UAE or Singapore.
Changi. You're going to Changi for sure.
You're going to Changi to get to Europe.
Man, I know like obviously the reason why Americans aren't constantly having European vacations is they don't really have vacations. They don't have money. They don't get a holiday. Anything like the
greatest nation on earth.
Struggling to get by at the bulk of them. But what about like all of the online upper middle class sort of Americans?
Yeah, your chappos.
Yeah, your chappos type people. Why aren't all those guys always bragging about how they know heaps about Europe and how they're always traveling to Europe? It's right there. You guys should like be schooling us.
It's literally just there. It's so close.
It is apparently just there.
It's right fucking there. Why aren't you guys like, oh my God, you called that an aperitif, but it's actually a digestif? You fucking backwards ass Australians.
You can fly from mega city to mega city in 10 hours.
Yeah.
We don't even have a mega city.
No. We're working on it. Brisbane, world's next mega city. We're renaming it Brisbane 1 just to give it a little bit of flair. Yeah,
the Brisbane mega city urban concourse.
That's right.
It stretches from Rockhampton to Lismore.
Kind of foreboding the idea that there's a second Brisbane coming in.
Yeah. We like to foreshadow it.
Oh, new Brisbane?
It could pop up anywhere. Neo Brisbane.
After the event?
Yeah, after the big event happened.
The event. What's that? What event?
Oh, that's what converts Brisbane into Neo-Brisbane.
Yeah.
Sort of a rebirth following
Brisbopolis.
The event.
Yeah. That's right. It'd probably be some sort of like antimatter experiment gone wrong or some sort of
in the Boggo Road Science Precinct.
That's right.
Over in the Boggo Road Science Precinct, they're doing antimatter experiments.
Maybe a bug I rode.
Dirty bomb at the Olympics, maybe.
Dirty bomb at the Olympics.
Dirty bomb at the Olympics.
Mm, yes.
Let's get that going.
Oh, God.
Start willing that one into existence, shall
we? Imagine being on like a 150th floor balcony in Neo Brisbane, taking a drag on your futuristic e-cigarette. Sort of an electronic cigarette.
Not a vape. A different thing. Not the same thing.
Yeah. And going, yeah. They used a dirty bomb at the fucking 2032 Olympics. They tore this whole fucking thing down and built it again. That's Neo Brisbane.
Are you still having those Olympics? Is that happening?
Theoretically, they're tearing shit down and they're building more shit.
We just got a metro. We got a world class metro.
You can go
from UQ to 8 mile planes gliding along on a 3-segment electric bus.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is, they call it sort of a metro, a tram system kind of. But it doesn't have overhead wires
or tracks.
Yeah.
It's a bus. Because we invented something.
It sounds like a bus.
Better.
It's a bus. Yeah. It's a long electric bus, which is cool. But I think we're putting on airs a little bit, calling it a metro.
Why Brisbane 2032 will not fail? That's the top search. So,
I'm getting
failure vibes from.
Yeah, I'm getting strong
Brisbane
failure vibes.
2032.
Yeah. I mean, every Olympic goes over budget.
Yeah, we got an episode.
Two times.
Yeah.
It's got a whole episode.
Like,
on
destroys
it,
the city.
But not Brisbane.
Yeah,
we'll Brisbane, the greatest minds have assembled to deliver it under budget.
The second ever profitable Olympics after the LA Olympics. That'll be us.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
We managed to talk them out of, by we, I mean, you know, I and my fellow concerned citizens, out of demolishing the Gabba.
Okay.
Because they were like, we're going to get rid of that, bring in a proper stadium. And everyone said, don't.
We like it that way.
But yeah, we kind of like it there. It's in the worst place. It ruins the traffic for an entire day.
Yeah,
it's really
it hangs
fucking
over the road.
Yeah,
which I think is actually kind of cool, kind of dope.
Yeah, that's a cool intersection. You got the Gabba there, and then you got the massive fucking exchange building there as well, big windowless skyscraper.
Yep, and then they're building a world class transit center underneath.
Yeah,
and it's going to house the Brisbane Metro.
Yes, can't wait.
And
for
the
that.
New train line that we have.
Yeah.
I think I like
many
people.
We're getting a second one.
Like many people, I'm kind of hoping that just at the last minute that Brisbane does the same thing that Dan Andrews did about the Commonwealth Games, where they were supposed to host it and it kind
of
got close to it and they
were
like,
nah.
It's going to be expensive. Fuck this. It's stupid. We're not doing it.
Did we? Is that the one that we got? The Gold Coast got? Gold Coast is part of the Neo Brisbane Urban Sprawl. We had one.
Yeah, what? It's Dogtown now.
He did the John Early in that I Think You Should Leave sketch. I'm not paying for that.
I'm not paying for them.
You can't make me.
I'm not paying. Not fucking paying. I'm looking at this metro. Mm. I don't get it. I don't understand. It looks like a tram. But it's a bus.
It's a bus disguised as a tram.
Does it just
I love
look
it
like
when they call
tram?
Them like trackless trains and
trackless,
shit.
That's trackless
so
tram.
Funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it drives on the road?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's called.
No,
it's
no. It,
like
it
a bus
can.
Would.
It can drive on the road. They've driven up Caxton Street, apparently. But it's kind of a bus. A long bus. That drives along the busway.
It's locked onto the busway, but the busway is a road. Like, it's still just
a
busway.
Yeah, it's a track for buses.
Okay. Which is made of road. It has the form factor of a tram. Like, you could be tricked. Like, if you were a wide-eyed tourist, and you're like,
oh my
God.
It even has a pantogram that pops up at the end of the trip to charge it, to flash charge it.
A pantogram?
Pantograph? A pentagram?
What? A pentagram?
That's the tensioned arm that goes up and presses against power lines above charge it.
I've never known what those are called.
Yeah, it's called a pantogram.
A pantogram.
Pantogram.
Not a pentagram.
No, pantogram, like shorts.
Like you're sending someone a message using pants.
Yes. Using shorts,
pants.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, if I Google pantogram, I get Oh, a pantograph. Teeth?
Pantograph. Sorry, I've been getting them mixed, the two mixed up for the last 6 months.
Oh,
pantograph.
That makes more sense.
Oh, but they also describe the thing that you use for replicating an illustration by having a hinged sort of...
I think it's the structure, right? The little arm structure.
Yeah,
the little
levers.
Arm on the top of the tram. Pantograph.
This is fascinating radio.
Yeah, this is
we all try
good.
To describe a picture. Look at that.
We're confused by big buses.
Don't say that we're the problem, all right? That's,
no.
It's
very clear.
Itself.
I've been following this closely.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
We all went out to the depot to have a look around. Went for a little ride on it.
Oh, that's quite fun.
It's pretty fun.
Oh,
big
it?
Bus.
A fun little bit of trivia here. A pantograph is also sometimes called a panto.
Oh.
You guys are meant to yell out, oh, no, it isn't.
Yeah.
He's right behind you.
Okay. Yeah. Ben was doing sort of like a panto pose.
Shut up. The individual,
blackface on,
who did not have a boarding pass, completed security screening and bypassed two identity verification and boarding status stations to board the aircraft.
Hey, how you going?
Yep. Yep. I'm Mr. Snithers. What it says here.
Sounds to me like he simply developed a series of travel hacks.
Yes.
And that, yeah, he's doing hacks. He's doing points hacks, name hacks.
ID hacks.
Check out these travel hacks that will shorten your time in security and also make everyone at the airport very mad.
Yeah, and you get to fly for free all the way to Paris.
They hate that hack.
Fly
that
for
hack
free.
Airports hate this guy. It's unclear how the person bypassed the boarding stations. Delta declined to provide additional details as the investigation continued.
Yeah, we declined to provide additional details because additional details will be very embarrassing.
They will make us look bad.
They will either make him look like a genius or make us look like fucking idiots or give like everyone a very easy set of instructions for illegally boarding a plane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Passengers weren't alerted to the stowaway on Delta Flight 264 from New York's JFK International Airport to Paris's Charles de Gaulle Airport until the plane landed in Paris.
Why would you alert them? That would just make them like pigeons, flipping about inside a library.
Bird in the classroom situation.
Absolutely.
No, they're hurting themselves on the portholes. They're trying to jump out.
There's an extra person on here.
Quote, apparently, she hid in a lavatory all the way at the rear of the aircraft when we departed JFK, Jackson told CNN. That's seven hours in
the
toilet.
This is not the first time.
Yeah.
This is what happened on the...
With the last guy. He did the bathroom method as well. He kept changing bathrooms.
This is not like Alien and Romulus connected universe. This is more like how... The Journey to the West or whatever keeps getting remade. The Seven Samurai.
A story that will be told over and over,
over
again.
Over and over again.
Ages.
This has happened before and will happen again.
Yes.
So you just went in the toilet for the whole flight?
No, until you take off, right?
Well.
But then where are you going?
You'll see. Quote, the first announcement to passengers that there was a problem was when we parked at the gate and they instructed us all to remain seated because French police... We're going to board the aircraft to deal with a, quote, serious security issue.
You don't need to announce French police are coming. You can just... They will know as you hear the, like, oncoming.
Oh, sacre bleu, it's the gendarmerie. In a video recorded by Jackson, the captain can be heard saying, folks, this is the captain. We're just waiting for the police to come on board. They may be here now, and they directed us to keep everyone on the airplane until we sort out the extra passenger that's on the plane.
Oopsie. Busted.
Sort out is funny. Like, all the police are going to go in there and just start beating the shit out of the extra person. That's what you get for stowing away. Jackson said the flight was completely full, and there appeared to be no extra seats for the stowaway.
Yeah, that's why.
So what's the crime?
Yeah. Didn't steal a seat from anyone.
Didn't steal a seat from anyone.
Yeah.
That just actually making the flight more economical.
How much would that fucking suck? Like if you got away with all of the preceding parts of like getting through airport security, getting through the fucking... Well,
presumably you think there's going to be a spare seat for you, right?
Yeah, that you'll just be able to like wander out of the toilets, do an exaggerated like, oh, Boy, am I glad that's out of my body. Oh, that was rough. That's why I was in there for so long.
Yep.
And then you just sit down next to someone.
And you're kind of doing the, get a load of these guys as the police come on.
Wonder what they're doing here. But instead, you wander out of the toilets, it's exaggeratedly fun. Blowing away the stink from your face. And you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah. They're taking me to the Louvre.
Yeah, it's probably escorting me processing. To the Louvre. Oh, man. Like, you just, how do you pass away 7 hours in the toilet?
You can't even watch anything.
Bolotro. Yeah. Expanded USB power bank.
Fuck, I could probably do that.
Yeah.
Probably do that pretty easy. When we flew over to like Peru and stuff, the Bolotro made the flight like disappear, like in the blink of an eye. I've never had a flight feel that fast before. And that was some long, long fucking flying. Thank you. Thank you, guy. Nameless guy that invented Bolotro. Quote, I overheard the flight attendants talking about it with the pilots. They said this person was in one lavatory and then would exit and walk to a different lavatory and go in there for a long time, Jackson told CNN. Yeah.
He was doing the thing that you do like, you know, in the summer holidays as a teenager where you go and pay and get into one movie. And then as that movie's finishing, you just walk out across the hall into another movie.
Yeah, you know? Never get past the checkpoint again.
Yeah, exactly. You just accept toilet.
Do you reckon teens these days aren't sneaking into other movies, I don't think.
I don't think they're doing that.
I don't think they want to be out of the house for that long.
I think they're little cops now.
I think they're going to one movie and they're watching a second movie on their Netflix app on their phone.
While they're in the first movie, you mean?
Yes. Yeah. And vaping.
Yeah, and vaping. Hey, Ben, can you read that sentence again so the context is hot?
Why, have you got a very good joke for it?
Well...
quote, I overheard the flight attendants talking about it with the pilots. They said this person was in one lavatory and then would exit and walk to a different lavatory and go in there for a long time, Jackson told
him. Who is the stowaway? Lucy?
She has IBS.
We've all been there. We've all had a bad time in the toilet, then realized it's not actually finished, and then been like, I can't walk back into the same toilet.
Oh,
so I'm going to walk to
and
a
now it's
different
a crime?
Toilet.
I don't think I've ever had that happen.
Oh. That happened to me just the other day. I went to the bathroom in the morning and I was like, I came out and was like, just kind of bummed out. You know, I was a little disappointed by what had happened. I expected, I had expectations. Yeah. They weren't met. And it wasn't I'm going to say 45 minutes later that I went back in and was like, thank you to my ass.
You know? But Lucy, you talking like, 10 seconds, like you're literally walking out and then being like, oh, no.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah, 100%.
That is,
you know what?
Back in there.
That's the sort of social thing that I think would kill my brain personally. I would be so overthinking.
I can't let anyone
what
see if someone me.
Then everyone
back
on the plane's going like, hey, check out Johnny Two Shits.
Oh, call back
Johnny
for more
two
shit.
Times. Two times. Fuck. Yeah, that'd be rough. Although,
hey,
for me personally...
Leave some toilet for the rest of us from the third row.
I feel like I would be absolutely delighted if I saw someone open the airplane toilet door, step out, and then go, oh. Hey, wait a second.
Actually,
180, right back in. And there's like people standing there waiting as well, because there always are.
Because
but he never doesn't go past the queue, so it's still his spot.
Still his spot. He hasn't left the queue yet.
I think it would help. Maybe it would help to like visually communicate to the people in the line if, as you came out, you did the behaviors that are coded for. Oh, I left something, and I need to go back and get it. Like maybe kind of patting your pockets.
Oh,
looking up in the air as you.
Wait a second.
Oh,
I don't know where I put my.
And then straight back. Yeah, coming out, patting your arsehole and saying, oh, still in there. Still in there.
Left a turn in there.
Ooh.
You know when you like you've started walking off in the wrong direction and you've realized that you're actually meant to be going the other way, so you pretend
you
got
have
a
to
text.
Make it look cool.
Pretend you got like a text or a phone call.
That changes what you're doing. You get
someone
out of the bathroom.
On my phone wants to have sex with me over the other way.
I just got a text on my phone that says I need to take one more shit. Go back in there.
There's a psycho on my phone saying, If I do less than this much shit, the plane will explode. Getting back in there. This is for you people. This is for you people.
I'm shitting for the whole plane now.
Wish me luck, you know?
If I was there on 9/11.
It would have gone down differently in the sense that I would have been in the toilet for seven hours.
CNN has reached out to the FBI on the matter. It is unclear if the stowaway was arrested once French police arrived. CNN has reached out to the French Interior Ministry and Paris Airport Authority for comment.
Does America have an extradition treaty with France? Surely.
Yeah, probably. I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because if they didn't, it's perfect crime.
Yeah. I mean, imagine if like France had no extradition with America. France would be probably full of like sex criminals and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine that. It'd be crazy. Hey, this person very nearly got to their destination if it wasn't for one tiny fuck up, which was just, I don't know. I don't know how they could have avoided this. But hey, Poe Body's nerfed. It's time for Poe Body's nerfed.
Poe Body's nerfed. No. No, Poe Body's nerfed. No, whoopsie daisy. Poe Body's nerfed. No.
Fair warning, if this story doesn't land, I'm deleting it from the episode. This is from WWBT in Virginia.
The big tits.
White women, big tits. Yeah. Well, I felt really bad saying that. Sorry, everybody. Teachers is removed from jobs after toddler wanders onto Parham Road.
Oh.
Okay, no, that's not the... Okay, let me read more of it first.
He didn't die, right?
The kid is fine.
Okay.
There was like a good Samaritan that like scooped the kid up in his arms and like it's all gravy. That part's super fine.
Also, if I was getting fired from my job every time a toddler walks onto the road, I'd never have a job.
That sounds nice.
Yeah.
You don't seem to enjoy working.
I actually really like my job, maybe. Oh. I don't know.
You're very stressed sometimes.
Yeah, it just stresses me so much that my fingernails fall off, but yeah. I like it.
Great. Two preschool teachers are no longer employed after a child wandered into traffic on Friday morning. Richmond Montessori School says a toddler wandered away from his class and into traffic on North Parham Road.
But that's because that's what he wanted to do.
That's what he wanted to do at the time.
I knew it was going to be a Montessori. Yeah.
He's displaying...
Yeah.
You know, there's just some lessons you kind of have to learn for yourself little bit, I think. And sometimes that learning can and should be self-directed.
Let them butter their own bread.
Yes.
Put their own clothes on.
Yes.
Cross the road themselves.
Yes. Busy road. Afternoon traffic. Just wander out. Cross the road. Who cares? It's Montessori, baby.
And sometimes the lesson that is being learned is by the teacher who is learning, just because I really enjoyed all those episodes of that Japanese show where they let the little kids go down to the shops and buy the fish.
Oh, yeah. What was that? Untethered? That? Unchained? What was it called? Loose Kids.
Lucy's going to know.
Yeah, Loose Come Kids. On,
loose no, Kids.
Cold.
Kids Gone Crazy.
Kids on the Loose. What the fuck is it called? Come on.
TV show Wandering Children.
About shaming us for having non-independent children.
Old enough.
Old enough.
That's right, because they're over there in the mysterious east.
You can do that over there.
You're old enough. Children are wise.
In the Orient.
You're old enough to go down to the shop yourself and buy some stuff. You're old enough to cross an eight-lane highway.
I never watched that show. Was that... Feels weird as a childless person to watch a show about toddlers.
No, my children find it fucking adorable. The kids like it. And look, the kids are safe the whole time.
Yeah.
It's kind of fucked up because they're like Truman Show, all these very small children.
They're Truman Showing those kids. Yeah.
Yeah, their parents say, hey, do me a solid, little
Japanese
Bobby.
Can you go buy me a packet of cigarettes?
Yeah.
Yeah, go get me some smokes. No, they give them some money and they say, hey, go get me like... fish, go get me whatever that I need for dinner, and they go, okay. And they go downstairs and they go down the street. And so there's like people all around them who have cameras like in a handbag.
They're
or
like
in,
fake, or fake like construction
in the,
workers.
Yeah, in the Apu hat, you know. Yeah. They've all so everyone around them is like in on the whole thing, and there's lots of cameras up in the store, and all the people in the store are on the show and all that.
They're paid actors.
Yeah. And then the kid comes back home, and the mum is like, "That's not the kind of fish I wanted." And the kid's like, "Okay, I'm going back out."
That's Atlantic salmon. Yep. I didn't want Atlantic salmon.
Fucking
Tasmanian
idiot.
Salmon.
I'm just writing down on my paper right here. Toddlers do not recognize artifice.
No. Or they're very bad at noticing when someone is an extra, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't
you
know
can
what
trim
that is.
And show your toddlers is what I'm saying.
Oh,
it is
easily.
It's kind of weird to trim and show your kid a little bit, right? That's not...
Do they, like, go out the door the next day being like, "See you, Mum, I'm off to buy some Atlantic salmon."
Yeah, they go, whoa, that was a one-time deal.
And already out the door, getting,
you
like,
you were
run
being
over.
Filmed.
Well, like, the point of the show is meant to be that it's, like, always okay, right?
It's always okay to let your children wander the streets.
Of yep. Japan.
Of Japan.
Japan.
That's
not
right.
Here.
Yeah.
The not... place where no crime exists.
That is right.
Yeah.
They put it in their books instead. They legalize the crime.
Yeah, that's right.
So just for us,
they
us Westerners.
They put it all in their little picture books.
Oh, so for us Westerners, you need to understand that if you want to let your children walk the streets, you have to take them to Japan first.
Yeah.
Then you
there.
Can just set them
that's
free.
That's illegal you know? Here.
Go to the Park Hyatt, Tokyo. You go up to that bar from Lost in Translation. You have a couple of martinis while your kid is like going down to fucking going to Harajuku. Huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To get you some of those weird
He's buying you cheap cigarettes.
Shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And use a gacha machine.
Yeah, that's right. They're playing pachinko. Thankfully, the child was rescued by a good Samaritan. Trey Waddy's dash cam video captioned the moments the toddler walked down the hill towards busy traffic right in front of Waddy's vehicle, prompting the 30-year-old to spring into action. Quote, "He darts in between us, and then all that rustling you hear there is the hazards, putting it in park, taking my seatbelt off and opening the door, and then he came around and he saw the white car go by super close. And I threw the door open, I just got out and grabbed him."
He did that, he threw the door open. "Come on, come here, come here, buddy,
come on.
Hop into this stranger's car." Waddy said that after the incident, he ran up the hill to make sure the toddler had made it safely back to his group, but it appeared the teachers did not even know he had been missing.
Ah.
Hey, man.
Quote, "I saw the class that I made contact with one of the teachers," Waddy said. "I was just like, you know, threw a thumbs up, like, everything good, you know? Like, there's a whole thing that just happened down there." I really like this guy's style, trying to like, you know, you don't want to panic the kids.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
upset anyone.
Just,
so he's just trying to.
We good? We good?
This like, is exactly what I would be doing to be like no contact, sort of just like, okay, here you go, buddy. Everything back to how it was.
Yeah.
I probably don't need to talk to anybody and like have a social situation about this.
No, you
so.
Can sort of try and convey with a thumbs up and some really raised eyebrows like, that these people just let a kid wander into traffic. Such a good little like, "And you guys are fine, right?
You good now?"
Mm. The two teachers responsible for the child's safety are no longer employed at Richmond Montessori School upon completing a full investigation of the incident, the school said in a statement Tuesday.
Yeah, you've been promoted to management.
That's right. The school says it's implementing additional safety measures. Any outdoor activities outside of a fenced area, including nature walks, have been suspended pending the completion of our safety audit. We've added more fencing and barriers to campus to prevent any student from wandering towards Parham Road, and all staff will receive additional safety training.
Don't let big sign up. Don't let the little children go on the highway.
No. Do you guys know what's going on with the school at Bluey?
What
do we know? What the deal is there?
In the TV show, Bluey?
As in, is it like a Montessori school?
Is it a Montessori school?
Do they go to Montessori school?
Isn't it a daycare though?
No,
Montessori daycare.
They're 5 and 7. It's like, okay. First of all, your teacher's Megan Washington. Second of all, they're just like they're just like roaming the woods and stuff. Like that's their day until they get picked up.
My hands
I guess they are dogs.
Yeah, they are dogs.
They are dogs.
I think maybe we shouldn't read too much into
it. Is Megan Washington a dog as well?
Megan Washington. Everybody's a dog.
Everybody is a dog.
Yeah, unless you're an animal.
It's Megan no Washington. People. And so she's still kind of like cute, kind of like hot as a
Theo,
dog.
Theo, what's the, the teacher's name again?
Interesting.
Sexy dog. Megan Washington. It is Calypso.
Yeah, yeah. Shut the fuck up, Siri. Shut up. God damn it.
Hey, if I was walking around...
You know what the school that in Bluey is?
If you know what the deal with that is, let us know. If I saw sexy, beautiful dog Megan Washington wandering around human Brisbane, I'd say, what the heck? That's a cryptid. It's time for Cryptid Watch.
Residents there say they've heard unusual animal sounds at night, and several ATV riders say they've seen unusual-looking creatures in the distance.
The next guest may have taken one of the best ever pictures of the Loch Ness Monster.
It's a Steiner school.
Oh. Like, is it actually?
Is it actually?
It's a whole new,
it's kind of the same thing, right?
Yeah.
As in like...
More or less. Spiritually the same thing.
Taught by famous professional wrestlers, the Steiner brothers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Taught how to do their finisher, the Frankensteiner?
They're doing leg drops. They're doing...
Suplexes, backdrops. It's got it all going on.
Steiner education, also known as Waldorf education. So you can be Steiner or Waldorfed.
Kind of Rudolf Steiner was an Austrian occultist. Is that the same guy? Is that him?
Similar
name.
What? Yeah.
Austrian occultist, social reformer, architect, esotericist, and claimed clairvoyant.
Oh, he made Waldorf education, biodynamic agriculture, and anthroposophical medicine.
Yeah, so that's what's going on with the school at Bluey.
Okay, why?
Plus Megan Washington's the teacher.
And she's a sort of like a really sexy dog.
Yeah. I didn't say that. You said that.
I asked you and you told me that. From a report sent this week to Lon Strickler at the paranormal blog Phantoms and Monsters. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
The witness was out hiking in the woods around Kirkland, Washington. He soon came upon a creature climbing a tree. Initially, he thought it was a giant white lizard. As he examined it, he made out that it was a translucent creature with a tail. Its body almost looked like an exoskeleton with stubby little legs or appendages. It turned its head around backward and was looking directly at him, making a snapping noise with its mouth.
Yeah.
Its face had jagged bumps on the top and bottom, and the witness could not tell where the teeth were or if the bumps were teeth. Suddenly, he began to hear a whooping noise.
So just then, a little colour there.
A little flavour, yeah. Just then a creature came crashing through the brush. The white creature turned its head to listen and then began to scale further up the tree. A large, blackish-brown bipedal creature, he recognised that it was a Sasquatch, though it was not similar to the one he had observed in 2003.
Look,
we got a two cryptid?
I'm going to call this guy for orgy of evidence problems. I don't think you can be like, so I was observing a cryptid when another cryptid came out. Not like many of the other cryptids I've seen.
I've seen heaps.
A crazy translucent lizard get attacked by a Sasquatch, but it wasn't the same Sasquatch that I saw 20 years ago.
Yep. I know you've heard my other Sasquatch story, not that one. Maybe this guy just finally had enough of people who have already heard his Sasquatch story rolling their eyes. And he was like, I got all new material.
Yeah, no, not like that. A different one.
Different.
Translucent guy this time.
Yeah, this time he's fighting a giant lizard. Sort of like that movie. Suddenly, the Sasquatch came around the tree and grabbed the lizard. The white creature whipped its tail, hitting its arm. Seemingly surprised, the white creature shrieked out, turned, and leaped onto the Sasquatch.
Yes!
Despite it being four times its size, the white creature fought wildly, crawling all over it and, quote, burning it with some type of substance that the witness assumed was some type of venom.
Oh, he's making the substance come out?
Yeah, he's substancing the Sasquatch.
Yeah.
Which caused the Sasquatch to shriek in pain. Smoke was visible any time the white creature would lean in to bite, though no spit was ever seen coming out of its mouth.
I think he was vaping.
Vaping.
Strawberry ice.
After some time, the Sasquatch grabbed the white creature by its head and pulled it off.
Oh.
Oh.
I think he means pulled it off the tree, sorry. Because the next sentence is, the white creature flipped forward and then spun its head 360 degrees around.
Sick.
So he's facing the same way he was originally facing. It looked cool. Yeah, it was like the death becomes her. It's at plus another 180 degrees. It bit the Sasquatch's arm. The Sasquatch threw it against the tree and punched it, causing it to splat, similar to a fried egg.
Yep.
The white creature seemed to do this on purpose, elongating itself around the tree to absorb the blow. The white creature then hopped to another tree and the Sasquatch followed, attempting to hit it with a stick.
This rules. This is like, Finn started to tell some really good stories in his like imaginative play.
Is he doing the like toddler style storytelling where it's all like and thens? And then the white lizard turned its head around like all the way, and then a Sasquatch grabbed a stick and then
it splattered lizard against the tree. But did that on purpose because
it's a fried,
made him
fried
immune
egg.
To blows. Yeah,
like an
yeah.
egg.
Like an, my one frame of reference, like an like when an egg got dropped one time.
Yeah,
like when it splattered in the manner of a fried egg, not like a boiled egg, like a fried egg.
No, that's totally different.
I mean, I get what he's saying.
Eventually, the white thing fell out of the tree and ran into the woods. The Sasquatch followed it. The witness had no idea why, but the Sasquatch appeared to want to kill the white creature.
I'm getting that vibe.
They've got that vibe too.
Beef, yeah.
Yeah. Like they have some sort of ancient beef.
Some kind of
ancient
beef,
I get the sense that like as soon as they saw each other, the PvP flag went on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
They had like some sort of factional issue.
Yeah, I think that these guys have probably like a long and ancient
They're feuding
thing
families.
They've been doing.
Yeah.
It's like the main character in that China Mieville and Keanu Reeves book, and the creature that always tries to kill them. That I can't really remember anything
it's
from that book,
like,
and I don't think anyone read
it's
it.
It's kind of like vampires and werewolves,
it's
you know?
Kind of like
yeah,
vampires,
it's kind of like
vampires and werewolves.
Werewolves and vampires.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. I bet these guys probably arrived on the planet Earth around the same time. I think around the time when the Chicxulub meteor crater was created, as I've previously discussed. And I think they both got out of their spaceship and they went, I don't want to ever fucking see you again. If I see you, translucent white lizard.
It's on sight.
It's on sight, translucent white lizard. I will beat your ass like a fried egg.
Sort of like the Germanic people who are the Sasquatch versus the Dutch.
Really worried about where this is going to go. I really like the idea of a Sasquatch just picking up a stick and just kind of hitting him with it a bunch. That's such an undignified way to fight your ancient enemy. Piss off. Fuck off.
They don't
get
seem
out
have
of
any,
here.
They don't have weapons.
Yeah. Well, that's they should fight bare hands.
The forest is their weapon.
Yeah.
The forest is their weapon. Their hands.
Sticks is their weapon.
Yeah. The sticks are, for thousands of years, they've been picking
sword.
Up sticks and going, can you just fuck off for 1 second?
Fuck off. Why do we both have to be in, where are they? They're in the Pacific Northwest, aren't they? Which
of
makes sense.
Of course they are. Vampires and werewolves.
Vampires and werewolves.
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah, all the spooky shit from X-Files.
Yeah, mostly up
forest.
There. Yeah.
Mostly up there.
Filmed.
Bunch of occult stuff going on.
Filmed in Canada, but pretending to be the US, right?
Yes.
The X-Files. Classic.
Yeah, pretending to be like Maine kind of stuff, or just general areas of the US?
General areas of the US, because they're based in Langley, right? In Virginia.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's cheap to get tax concessions for filming in BC.
The CIA is Langley, isn't it? FBI is Quantico.
Yeah.
Quantico.
Where the fuck is Quantico?
Virginia.
Yeah.
They're based out of Virginia.
They're both in Virginia.
All right. Hey, this was definitely an episode of the podcast, Bunta Vista. We learned so much about the world around us and our place in it. If this sparked anything in you.
Yeah. If you're a curious mind.
Yes. We're kind of like one of those science podcasts, you know, Carl Sagan type stuff. If you think about an ocean, that's like all the planets. So that's, you know, this stars.
You might have learned something today. You might have learned where Quantico is.
Yeah, and Langley. Yeah,
probably in Virginia.
Or you might have been yelling at us the entire time about all the stuff we were wrong about. If you have something interesting to add to the conversation, or this happened near you, any of this, you were the stowaway or whatever, we would love to hear about it. mailbag@buenavista.com. If you want even more of this podcast, you can get another hour of it a week by going to patreon.com/buenavista. If just 1 hour a week is enough for you, hey, don't worry about it. No stress. That is fine.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It's fine.
You can still pay for it and take 1 hour from the mains 1 week and 1 hour from the bonuses the other alternate week, just to make sure that you're not missing out
you
on
could
anything.
Mix it yeah. up, yeah. You could do quality, one each.
Which one is the better episode does vary quite a lot, depending on how our lives are going generally and whether our work is energizing us.
How sleepy we are.
Or that our personal lives are energizing us.
We're kind of up and down all the time.
We are emotionally volatile people.
We are unstable. Yeah.
If you do just like the main episodes mainly, you can listen to those and then you can play the bonus episodes, but with the volume set to zero.
Yeah. Or put on the bonus episode as you're going to bed one night, because you're only going to hear like a little bit at the start and then you just drift off because we talk so slow.
Yeah.
We've been told. Hey, thank you very much for listening. We appreciate it having you here. Stay fucking safe out there. Look after each other.
Stay safe, but live dangerously. You know?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.